Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Welcome to NBA Takeaways, brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the NBA Sound System. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, and today we're going to be doing some lists. I'm going to put together my very own BuzzFeed article for you guys. Everyone loves lists. I decided to go ahead and do it. But before we get to those lists, you can find me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at NBA Sound System, and at FNTSY Radio. The Welsh, still sick, resting the golden pipes, but I'm pretty sure, I'm not going to guarantee anything because I'm not into guarantees, but I'm pretty sure that he is going to be back for Monday's show. So be on the lookout for the Welsh. He will be back very, very soon. But he is actually sick. He is not fake sick. And I know I talk about this guy too much on this show, and it's not James Harden, surprisingly. I know I got to get his name in. It's the first minute of the show. James Harden. But our guy, Enes Kanter. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. This dude is too good. He is too entertaining. I don't know if he needs to move on to reality TV or what, but he is the gift that keeps on giving. It used to be Irving. It's not Irving anymore. I'm sorry. Irving is level-headed compared to Enes Kanter at this point. But I don't know if you guys saw this. I saw it on Reddit. I saw it a couple other places. But apparently, last night, or maybe it was earlier today, I'm not sure when, but at some point, Enes Kanter ate 7 cheeseburgers. They were triple patties with cheese, all the fixings, all the good stuff on there, and just like a bucket of fries. So I believe it said hashtag cheat day with a couple of smiley emojis on it. It was in a tweet, but that's not a big deal. I mean, look, being a fat guy, I've never put away 7 cheeseburgers. I'm also not 8 feet tall, so I can't do that. I've eaten a lot of cheeseburgers, or I've eaten an absurd amount. You know, a doctor would gasp if they saw the amount of food I've eaten in one sitting at one point, but I didn't eat all that. But he went to practice the next day and had to leave midway through because of illness. Gee, I wonder what could have got to him there. Maybe it was 7 cheeseburgers. So I love Enes Kanter. I can't get enough of that dude. I hope that he gets traded to a place where he sees more playing time. I'm actually kind of sad that he would leave New York City because the media covers the Knicks so hard, in New York City. And if he was to go to Sacramento, not that Sacramento is a bad place to go or anything, and it should lead to more playing time for him, but he wouldn't be covered so intensely as he is in New York. So these are the things that might slip through the cracks, but not when I'm on the case. So if there's any Enes Kanter-related news that's absurd or crazy or weird or whatever, I expect to be here bringing it to you on NBA Takeaways. But I promise you guys some lists. So what I'm going to do for today is I took a look back at what has happened in the 2018-19 season so far. I made a top 10 list. I know I forgot something. Too much has happened this year for me to not let something slip through the cracks. So I'm sure that happened. So I did the top 10 things that I think have impacted this season. And then I made a top 10 questions for the rest of the season. So this is kind of a look back at what has happened up to this point, because we're hitting the 50% mark for most teams. Most teams are right around between 40 to, 44 games, 82 games in a season. So we're right at about midway point here. So I just wanted to take a look back and then take a look forward to see what's going to happen. So point number one that I have, or I guess number 10 on the list, and this, it's for this season, it was the really great NBA draft class, especially Luka Doncic. He has been incredible this season. I don't know that we've seen a rookie make as big an impact recently as this guy. Of course, he had, last year's rookie class was amazing too, but this one, Luka Doncic is really making a big splash, and everyone is impressed by him. We talked yesterday about, how, you know, the guy picked before him, DeAndre Ayton, has been heaping praise on him, and so has Rick Carlisle, and so has the entire NBA. I mean, Dave Yeager got into a little bit of heat for, you know, saying, man, I can't believe we passed on him or something of that nature. And he had to go back and kind of recant what he said and not say that, you know, tell everyone he didn't mean that he was upset that they picked Marvin Bagley because he loves Marvin Bagley, but Luka Doncic has been unworldly, which he has. So, but it's not just him. He has been really, really good. But we've had, you know, players. We got two starters out of this in Phoenix. We got Ayton and Mikal Bridges, and D'Anthony Melton has been there for a little bit now. We've had Kevin Knox in New York. We've had Trae Young in Atlanta play well. And I know the, you know, fantasy people complain about him because of percentages or whatever, but we got to realize that he is piece one of this Atlanta rebuild. So, you know, he's going to be part of a bigger picture moving forward. It's going to be him and John Collins, and I don't know how much else. I mean, Huerter is there. He's been pretty good, too. Mitchell Robinson got some run with the Knicks for a little bit. Jaren Jackson Jr. has been incredible this season. He seems to be slowing down right now, but that's more because of the Joakim Noah signing than him actually slowing down. It's his minute slowing down. Josh Okogie has been good in Minnesota. I mean, the list goes on and on. There have been plenty of great rookies from this class. Maybe one of the best that we've seen in a long time. So I don't even know if I said Wendell Carter Jr. for Chicago and Hutchinson. Those guys have both been big-time contributors. So the rookie class in, you know, obviously, this didn't happen in the middle of the season, but in the offseason. And the next thing is a offseason thing as well. It's the player movement. And the big ones here are obviously the trade of Kawhi and DeMar DeRozan and what that has done for those two teams. You know, Toronto is in contention for the number one seed in the East right now. San Antonio took a big back seat. And by the way, it is like 2 o'clock in the morning for me right now. And I believe this game with San Antonio and OKC just ended this minute, for God's sake. It went into two overtimes. It was incredible. My boy LaMarcus Aldridge, hook him, by the way, 58 points, 54 points, a lot of points. But anyway, I digress. You know, San Antonio has taken some time to get really right. I mean, Pop seems to be a miracle worker anyway, but they had the most, we talked about it on the show, they had the more 30-point losses in this season than Popovich has had with the Spurs for his entire career. So it's taken a while for them to, you know, get right and really all the chemistry to wrap up there. And LeBron going to the Lakers. I mean, LeBron going to the Lakers did so many things. First of all, it made Cleveland really, really bad. And to me, it kind of made LeBron even more legendary than he was going into this season, because we got to see just how bad the cast around him was last season that he drugged to the NBA Finals. So it also shifted the West a little bit. Will LeBron be able to make the 1 millionth finals in a row with this Lakers team? Most people don't seem to think they'll get past the Warriors, but we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, it really opened up the East. So we'll see what winds up happening in the Eastern Conference later this season. But it's anyone's ballgame now that LeBron is out West, and we'll see what he does in the playoffs as well. Dwayne Wade's retirement tour. I'm not really a big one for retirement tours. We've seen it in other sports. You know, I think the most famous one ever was Derek Jeter in New York City playing for the Yankees. And just all the stuff. I actually was there at his last All-Star Game appearance. It was pretty cool to see people chanting his name in Minnesota. But Dwayne Wade is a 12-time All-Star, a 3-time champion, 8-time All-NBA. He was the 08-09 scoring champ, and he has won MVPs in the All-Star Game and in the Finals. The dude is a no-doubt first-ballot Hall of Fame player. Incredible career that he has had, and it's nice that people get to go and see him one last time. I mean, we even saw Bradley Beal gushing over him when he played his last game, or presumably last game, in D.C. So that was pretty cool as well. How about for in-season development stuff now? The Warriors KD versus Draymond blow up. I know that this probably is going to wind up being a small speed bump on the tour of another Warriors championship, but it was interesting and it was a big deal nonetheless. I mean, you know, Curry was hurt at that time. We saw some weird chemistry going on. They're just now kind of getting this back. You know, a lot of factors played into that, but when you have a team filled with superstars, all the superstars are going to be able to have opinions. And this is something that happens, you know, we talked about this before, at a lot of job settings. People blow up at each other. It doesn't mean that they hate each other. And I'm not sure where KD will wind up in the offseason because he's made weird comments about playing with LeBron and weird comments about not wanting to go to New York. And maybe he's just going to wind up staying with the Warriors. I don't know, but it was a strange occurrence and everyone had their eyes glued on it. And I don't think that this is going to be ultra impactful moving forward for the rest of this season, but it could make bigger decisions down the road a little bit harder for this team because one of their guys, Klay Thompson, is a free agent next year, and he set the three-point in a game record by making 14 threes. Steph Curry had the record at 13. The Rockets set the record for threes in a game with 26. So, obviously, number five here is records. We've seen some records fall this year, obviously those two being the big ones. We saw Nurk have that huge game the other night when he had the 5x5, five categories with at least five apiece in them, and he was the first one to do it with 20 points and 20 rebounds ever. So it'll be interesting to see if any more records fall this season, but that is what makes it so interesting. Number five for me is the Kings. Just the rapid improvement of the Kings. They are sitting right at 500 right now at 21-21. We talked about in the last show how at 40 games last year, they were 13-27. And just the offensive pace of this team and how great De'Aaron Fox has been and Willie Cauley-Stein. And all of this, despite Jaeger's job perhaps being in question. I mean, they were dead last in pace last year. They are second now. They are ninth in field goal percentage. They are eighth in three-point percentage, second in three-point attempts. They're still bad from the line down at 27th, but they're up in rebounds across the board. They're tied for 11th in assist percentage. They're high in steals. They're low in turnovers. They are right dead middle in true shooting. Their offensive rating is dead middle of the pack. So dead middle of the pack, I know that a lot of people are going to roll their eyes at that. And, you know, you look out west right now and they wouldn't even be a playoff team at this point in the year. But this is the best Kings team that we've seen in a long time. And you got to give Jaeger some credit. You got to give all these guys some credit. I mean, De'Aaron Fox has just taken such an incredible leap this season. And Willie Cauley-Stein, who, sure, he might get traded, but he has looked really, really good there. So the Kings have got to go on this list of things that happened this year. The big ones now here, really the last four, the coaching changes. Tyronn Lue being fired early this season. Larry Drew obviously took over for him. Cleveland hasn't gotten any better, but they have gotten the young guys out on the court, which is the reason that Tyronn Lue was fired. He wanted to do things his way. Upper management wasn't really into that, so he is gone. Fred Hoiberg being fired and replaced by Jim Boylan and all of that nonsense. I mean, that could be the Chicago drama could be on this list in and of itself, you know, as a lone wolf here. But I kind of lumped it together with all of the coaching stuff. But yeah, Jim Boylan taking over and the drama that ensued and the stuff with Jabari Parker, him not getting time, benching players for weird reasons. I believe it was Wendell Carter Jr. only had like 11 minutes the other night for introspection. Just a weird way to do this. Hopefully they wind up finding someone in the offseason if they're not going to stick with Boylan or they go all in, you know, either let the weirdness reign or get rid of it and get someone in there that you think is more appropriate. And then I don't know, like I said before, earlier this week, I don't think that I was super surprised that Thibodeau got fired, but for him to be fired after a 22-point win, this was weird too, because not only was it weird timing, but then Flip Saunders' son takes over the team, won his first game, so he's off to a nice start there, but they were also talking about Fred Hoiberg possibly getting this job, and Fred Hoiberg replaced Tom Thibodeau when he was fired in Chicago. So there is some really weird stuff going on with the coaching carousel, and of course, Jaeger has been bantered about as far as his job security goes in Sacramento, so we'll see what happens there. The Jimmy Butler trade was huge, of course. Jimmy Butler going to the Sixers for Dario Saric and Robert Covington. There are other pieces involved in that deal, but I don't really care. I lost a bet on my podcast for this, and I had to give out my phone number because I couldn't eat black olives because they're disgusting. So I obviously did not expect this trade to happen, and this impacted my life in a very real way as well. But Jimmy Butler getting moved to Philly, and then, you know, I didn't put it in here, but you could kind of think that, the drama with Brett Brown recently, which seems to have calmed down. It might have been a media blowing things out of proportion, like that's never happened. But I could have put that on here too. But Covington is hurt right now. Weird stuff going on in Minnesota with the firing of Thibodeau, which was part of the reason, this trade is part of the reason that Thibodeau's gone, because he couldn't make it work. If the off-the-court rumors are true, I don't think that anything would have made it work. But Jimmy Butler to Philly was definitely one of the biggest things to happen this season. Cleveland and Phoenix fighting for Zion is number 9. And these teams have just, I don't know if anyone is going to outbat Cleveland this year. They are down here. They haven't even gotten to double-digit wins yet. They're 8-34. Phoenix is 10-33. I don't necessarily know the math on it. I follow the draft, but I don't follow it intently until we get closer to that time. But I believe that the top three teams have the same percentage to get the number one overall pick. Everyone wants Zion Williamson right now. Luckily, I am not connected to any NBA team, so I cannot be mess with tampering there. But Phoenix is 10-33. Cleveland is 8-34. But I guess we'd probably have to throw the Knicks at 10-31 and Chicago at 10-31 in there as well. So kind of the fight for Zion down at the end. We'll see what teams wind up making some improvements. Atlanta could slip in there. I don't think anyone out west could, which leads me to my last point about in-season things. 1 through 14 in the West are separated by 9.5 games. So 1 through 14, that means only Phoenix, who is 19.5 games back of first. They're 10 games worse than 14, 15 to 14, 10-game gap. That gap is bigger than the gap from 14 to 1 as far as records go. So as it stands this second, Denver, Golden State, Oklahoma City, Portland, the Clippers, San Antonio, Houston's down at 7, the Lakers are at 8. Those teams would be in the playoffs right now. But on the outside looking in, we've got Utah and Sacramento at the same record. We've got those Minnesota Timberwolves at 20-21. The Pelicans with AD, who would had to, I love James Harden, but Anthony Davis would have to lead as far as MVP voting goes right now. Memphis is down here as well at 19-22, and Dallas is down here at 19-22. These teams all have a possibility at making the playoffs. So just the tight race that we have, and, haters of the NBA complain that it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland every year. We know Cleveland's not getting there, so the East is going to get somebody new. And, I think the Warriors, they're probably not as vulnerable as we think, but they're more vulnerable than they ever have been in this season. So it is going to be a fun, fun finish. But the other side of this, like I mentioned before, is the 10 questions. What is going to happen for the rest of the season? So that was the 10. We went, just to recap, we got the draft class, the movement of LeBron, Kawhi, and DeMar DeRozan, Dwayne Wade's retirement tour, the KD and Draymond blow up, Klay Thompson setting records, the Rockets setting records, Nurk setting records, the Kings overall improvement, coaching changes, Jimmy Butler trade, who's going to get Zion, and 1 through 14 in the West are separated by 9.5 games. So that is the recap of that list. Moving on to the questions, what I want to know for the rest of the season this year. Number one, who is going to be snubbed from the All-Star game? And is this going to be the year where we take fan voting away a little bit just to make sure that the right people get in there? Now, they're only a third. I believe it is a third media, a third fan, and a third coaches. So the All-Star game is fun. About the dunk contest. Is this dunk contest going to be a classic, and who's going to be in it? I think that is the biggest takeaway from All-Star Game weekend every single year. So I'm no different than anybody else. I want to see who's going to be in that dunk contest, and is it going to be an all-timer? Number two, what stars end up being moved? If any huge names get moved at the All-Star break, that is obviously a huge impactful thing for every single year. Bradley Beal is the biggest one in rumors right now. Kemba has been in some rumors as well, but Charlotte would be in the playoffs in the East right now. And Vucevic, you know, what is Orlando going to do? I think Orlando needs to commit to either selling off and rebuilding or adding a star or something. So Orlando is kind of stuck in the middle, which is not where you want to be in the NBA at all. So what stars get moved, what rumors pop up, and you know, what teams get superstars added onto their team? I know the Rockets, I would really love to see them get Bradley Beal, but I don't know if they have the assets. Number three, which rookies will hit the wall and fall off in the second half? This has happened almost every single year of existence. You know, NBA player, rookies in the NBA come in, they don't know the rigors of an 82-game season with all the travel, all the media commitments, all the, you know, off-the-court commitments that they have, if they have sponsorships. It is just a never-ending rotation of stuff to do, and between all that, you got to practice and stay in shape and eat right. So it's really tough. I have to do none of those things. I'm fortunate, of course, I don't get an NBA paycheck either, but some of these guys will hit the wall. I don't know. I would bet money that Doncic doesn't, because he's played in pro leagues overseas. Maybe he knows a little bit more about the grueling tour, but you know, we saw Porzingis do it, and he had the same thing. Porzingis hit a wall his rookie season. Guys get hurt, guys get banged up. Nagging injuries, that kind of stuff. So I want to see which rookie is going to push through that and which rookie is not going to make it. Number four, what other coaching changes do we have, if any? Like we said, Jaeger has, even with the improvements of the Kings, has had, you know, some stuff tied to him. Would Cleveland or Phoenix, with their bad record, you know, make any changes with Igor? The Knicks, Chicago, you know, is Minnesota going to hire someone else? Or are they going to just stick with Saunders? So more coaching changes to come later in the season, obviously a big one. This is a very interesting one to me. This is number five. Can the Pelicans win enough games for Anthony Davis to win the MVP? Because when you look at the history of this award, I mean, last year was Harden, Westy, then Curry twice, Durant, LeBron twice. They won 62 games. LeBron, Kobe, Dirk, Steve Nash, back when the Suns were good 2 years in a row. I don't know when the last time a team that didn't make the playoffs, and as well as Anthony Davis, is playing, they're not in the playoffs right now. So are they going to push into the playoff race? And is that going to be enough for Anthony Davis to wind up winning the MVP? Or are they going to give it to, you know, I mean, I know it's annoying for everyone to hear from me, but are they going to give it to James Harden? Are they going to give it to Kevin Durant? Could Kawhi win it in Toronto? You know, GA has been incredible this season. So I think that he's easily the favorite to win the award. But They got to win the games. And if they don't win the games, he's definitely not going to win it. So they got to, I think they got to at least be a 5 seed for him to win. So we'll see what winds up happening there. I'm really interested in that. How far will LeBron take the Lakers? We've seen him drag teams in the East. You know, I mean, not necessarily drag teams. He makes everyone around him better. But we've seen him take subpar teams to the finals, and obviously he's lost in the finals because he doesn't have the pieces around him. But it's a tougher sled. It's an uphill battle for sure, going out west and doing it. So how far can he take the Lakers in the playoffs? Are they going to make the playoffs? How much more time is he going to miss? So I think he's going to be back closer to the middle of this month, maybe later, maybe like January 20th, 21st, somewhere around there. But we'll see how far he can take those guys out west. And how will the West shake out is number 7. Like I just said, 1 through 14 are separated by less than 10 games, fewer than 10 games. So who is going to get bounced? A good team is not going to make the playoffs. And I know there has been some fan upheaval for just putting the 16 best records in the playoffs. I don't know. That would be okay with me. I'd be fine with that. I haven't really sat and thought about it, but that would be okay with me. But, I mean, is that going to happen this year? We're going to have so many teams above 500 not make the playoffs in the West and below 500 make it in the East that it is that big of a deal. On the other side of that, number 8, who wins out LeBron? Is GA going to be able to take the Bucks there? They've got more talent than than LeBron's Cleveland team did last year with Middleton and Brooke Lopez and everyone else, Bledsoe there. Can Jimmy Butler actually coexist with some teammates and take a team to the finals? Can Kawhi stay healthy enough to get the Raptors over that hump and push them into the finals? What we know is that LeBron will not be in the finals with an East Coast team. So that is going to shake out and be very interesting. We're definitely going to get some new blood, and who is it going to be? Number 9, can anyone take out the Warriors in the playoffs? And who actually has the best shot? I don't know who has the best shot. I know the Rockets did last year. I don't think they do this year. Is Denver an actual contender? Are the Raptors so much better getting Kawhi that they can do it in the finals? Can GA defeat the Warriors in the finals? Can a LeBron-led Lakers squad beat them in the playoffs in the West? So that is going to be really, really interesting. And the last one that we won't get till after the season ends, and it may be just as intriguing as who wins and who can beat the Warriors, but who wins the Zion sweepstakes? That is, of course, going to be intriguing. But that is going to be everything that I have for you guys today. I hope you have a great weekend. I know I missed something. Comment below on Twitter when the NBA Sound System puts this podcast out and let me know what I forgot or what other questions you're looking for later in the season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at NBA Sound System, and at FNTSY Radio. And let's, of course, not forget our virtual flowers and thoughts to the his voice to improve so he can get back with us next week to get some good NBA talk.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.